Well, this morning we're continuing our series, Grinched, which we've been going through over the Christmas season. And the hope of this series is just like the Grinch whose heart was two sizes too small. But somewhere along the course of Christmas, somewhere along the course of this series, that your heart would grow three sizes. That you would just be overwhelmed by God's love and grace towards you. So if you've missed any of the sermons in the series, have no fear. You can find them online at our website, BethelOnline.ca, and you can either stream them or download them from there. Our theme for this morning is joy. Christmas is a season of joy. You know, we sang it this morning, right? The first song right out of the gate, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." You know, there's something tangible about joy at Christmas. You know, it's like you can feel it in the air. Joy can be seen everywhere that you look. Joy is the look on a child's face when he opens that gift that he has been waiting and anticipating for on Christmas morning. Joy is that feeling of excitement when you've been shopping and looking for the perfect gift for that special someone and you find that gift. Right? Joy is the feeling of evening spent by the fire with close family and friends. Joy is the sound of Christmas music in the air promising us that there is something more, that there is hope, that there is peace, that there is love. Joy is, right? You can look back at your Christmas memories and you could easily fill that statement. You know, I'll never forget Caleb's second Christmas. And the reason that Caleb's second Christmas was so significant to us is that was the first Christmas where he kind of had any sort of inclination that he was getting presents, that he was getting gifts. He was 1.5, and what you need to know about Caleb is that he was the first grandbaby born on either Mel's or my side, okay? And for all of you grandparents out there, you know what that means, is that Caleb got spoiled like you would not believe, right? I used to be so embarrassed. People would come over to our house for a visit. They'd come over to the pastor's house, and they would look at our tree, and not out of rudeness, but out of just sheer shock, they would say, "Wow, that's a lot of presents." It was like there was our tree somewhere hidden behind this fortress of gifts piled high, right? And they were all for Caleb. If you dug in the back, there were a couple for Mel and I, but most of them were for Caleb, right? And so he had all of these gifts. There was all of this expectation and excitement. And so when Christmas came, we were really excited to just shower Caleb in all of these presents. And so we FaceTimed the grandparents in, and we gave Caleb his first gift, and he ripped it open quickly, and he looked at it, and it was a brand new toy. And he was really excited for a second, and then he threw it over to the side, and then he grabbed the wrapping paper, and he started to play with it. So Mel and I redirected him a little bit. We're like, Caleb, look, here's another gift. Here's another gift for you. And he got all excited, and he opened it up, and it was another toy. But this one had something the first one didn't have, a box. And so he threw the toy to the side, and he played with the box. It was super exciting. The best gift that Caleb got that Christmas was Mel wrapped up a Kleenex box for him, and he opened it up, and he spent Christmas morning doing this and just throwing the Kleenex everywhere. He thought that was the greatest thing ever, right? You know, there's so much joy during the Christmas season if you'll just look for it. But this joy that is available to us, we still can get it grinched from us, can't we? We can still go through Christmas lacking some joy. We can have the joy of Christmas taken from us. It doesn't take very much for our Merry Christmas to turn into a Merry Meh, right? And I think one of our reasons for our apparent lack of joy is our consumer culture's mantra of more, better, different. More, better, different. Let me explain for a second, right? You know, if one present is great, then seven must be better, right? If, you know, one gift is good, but why stop at one gift, right? But as we accumulate more and more things, we soon realize that everyone else has accumulated a lot of things. So then we have to buy more things because we don't feel any more special or any more different or any more happier. And so we just get more and more things. And so we say more, but we find that it doesn't actually make us any happier. And so we move on to better, right? Why would you settle for last year's iPhone when they've made 7 since then, right? And why would you settle for the iPhone 11 if they've got the iPhone Pro, right? Because everyone's got the iPhone 11, but do they have the iPhone Pro? Well, apparently a lot of people do, right? What's the difference between an iPhone 11 and iPhone Pro? About $200, give or take, right? That's about it. But it turns out that we just want better things. But then we realize that other people have better things. And so then we turn to different, right? Everyone has a lot of stuff. Everyone has nice stuff. But at least they don't have your stuff. Everyone might have a hockey jersey, but do they have a signed Wayne Gretzky hockey jersey? I don't think they do. I don't, by the way. If you have one and you'd like to give it to me, I will take it. Right? But we move to different, something unique, or we collect something extravagant, whatever it is, something that is different, that makes us stand out. And at every step of the way, we're pursuing happiness. And just when we've reached it, just when we've grasped it in a moment, it fades away. It seems to elude us and just dissipate. We get grinched. The problem is that at the end of the day, we feel just as empty as when we started. And so what do we do when we aren't experiencing the joy that we're supposed to be feeling at Christmas? We compensate by adding more Christmas, right? We start the cycle all over again. More decorations, more presents, more food, more Christmas cards, more outings, more events. But what happens when enough is not enough? Because enough is never enough. What happens when your Merry Christmas turns into a Merry Meh? But what if Christmas can't be bought at a store? What if Christmas means a little bit more? What if there is more joy in one Kleenex box than in a whole pile of gifts? Because where you go to find your joy will determine your joyfulness. Don't miss this. Where you go to find your joy will determine how joyful you really are. You know, if you're trying to find your joy in things, your joy will never be full. Joy is a deep well that we draw from. Joy is a deep well when we're feeling down and we're feeling tired and we don't have the strength to go on. We draw from it. And so we need to make sure that where we are finding our joy is something of substance, something that has depth, something that lasts. And so where do we go when we feel empty? How do we find joy when we're feeling down or just indifferent? We go back to the very first Christmas. Earlier this morning, during our Advent reading, Vanessa read from Mary's Song of Praise. And it was a song just overflowing out of the joyfulness in Mary's heart. And where that came from is actually there was a conversation leading up to it that I want to read to you this morning. So if you've got your Bible with you or the ability to Google the passage, it's in Luke 1:39-45. I'll give you a second to get there. Luke 1:39-45. A few days later, and this is just a couple days after the birth announcement, if you go back a little bit, just a few days after the angel came to Mary. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed, "Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed what the Lord would do what he said." And then from that conversation, Mary goes into that song of praise. See, what's so significant about these events is because they happened just a few days after the birth announcement, Mary was on her way to go and visit her relative Elizabeth. She was going to tell her the story about what had happened. And if you can put yourself in Mary's shoes for a minute, I've imagined that those few days was a really awkward, uncomfortable feeling. You know, how do you go and tell your close relative this story? Hey, so I'm pregnant, but I'm still a virgin. And it's the Son of God. She's probably running this through in her mind, like, how am I going to explain this? She's going to think that I've lost it, that I'm a crazy person. She was probably very nervous and anxious, probably running the conversation over and over in her mind. But something completely unexpected happened. Something out of the blue happened. As soon as Mary said hello, as soon as she greeted Elizabeth, the baby in Elizabeth's stomach leaped for joy. Now, obviously, babies moving in utero isn't an uncommon thing. Caleb himself was a very active child in utero, and as you can see, nothing has changed at all. But what makes this case different, what makes this moment different, is that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Before Mary has a chance to explain herself, Elizabeth tells Mary her news to her. Before Mary has a chance to say, look, this is what happened, Mary just says, the Savior of the world. You're going to give birth to the Savior of the world. And the baby is joyful, Mary is joyful, and just joy erupts out of seemingly nowhere. Right? Elizabeth tells the news to Mary, and filled with joy, Mary bursts into this song of praise to God. Unexpectedly and without warning, joy broke through. They weren't searching for joy, it came to them. And so often we search for joy, we search for happiness, we look at all of these different places, whether it's things or relationships or whatever it happens to be, to find happiness or joy. And we search for it. But joy came to Mary and Elizabeth that day. We spend so much time searching for that elusive feeling, that feeling of satisfaction and contentment that just seems to evade us. But it came to them. See, the miracle of Christmas is that joy came to us in the most unexpected way. It kicked down the door of our hearts and came bursting in as a child. And so what if joy is not something that can be achieved? What if joy is not something that can be earned or pursued? What if joy is simply a gift that is given? You know, for all of our searching, what if joy was right in front of us the whole time? What if I told you that joy is within reach? That you can experience joy this Christmas season. And not just joy this Christmas season, but what about joy in the doldrums of January and February? What about joy all year round? Because where you go to find your joy will determine your joyfulness. And the joy that Jesus brings is unending. He is a well that never runs dry. And when you find your joy in Jesus, you will soon realize that there's absolutely nothing that compares. And so this morning, I want to take a few moments to talk about this joy that Jesus brings, about this life-changing, life-transforming joy. And so I'm going to give you a couple joy is statements that describe the joy that Jesus brings. Our first statement is joy is a feeling. Joy is a feeling. You know, this one seems pretty self-explanatory. Joy is something that you experience. It's an emotion. It's something that you emote. You experience it, right? I know this is groundbreaking stuff. You've never heard this before, right? But the reason that I wanted to start here is anytime someone talks about joy, I find they're always really quick to say, you know what, joy is different than happiness. And while that's true, I just want to dwell on this for a moment. We'll get there. But let's just start with joy as a feeling. You know, kind of the whole point of joy is to feel something, isn't it? We wouldn't really be really interested in joy if there wasn't a feeling attached to it. So joy is a feeling, and it's important to recognize that. The Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible, that's a mouthful, says that in one sense, joy is a feeling called forth by well-being, success, or good fortune. A person automatically experiences it because of certain favorable circumstances. It cannot be commanded. You know, have you ever experienced a moment where you were feeling really down and you just kind of got jolted out of your sad or your depressed or your blue state? I remember this one time, and this is a really embarrassing story, but I'm going to share it anyways. This one time, I was just having a bad day. If I was honest, I was having a bad week. And I was just sitting around the dinner table with some friends. And I was just kind of eating my food, just kind of going through the motions, whatever. And someone said something. I don't even remember what it was. I don't even think it was that funny. But it just hit me as absolutely hilarious. And I was mid-drink to a glass of milk. Now, you think you know where this is going, but you don't. As I was midway through a glass of milk, and all of a sudden it hit me, and I didn't want to spit milk across the table, so I exhaled sharply out of my nose, and snot just came, and it just dripped and hung from my face, and I was so embarrassed, but the table just erupted in laughter, and I laughed until my sides hurt, until tears were streaming down my eyes. And somehow, I didn't feel as bad anymore. Somehow, everything seemed to be okay, right? It just kind of hit me out of nowhere. A more serious example of joy is Mel and I had just moved into a new place in the Okanagan where we lived before coming here. And the new place that we had didn't have an air conditioning unit. And if you've ever been to the Okanagan, you know that you need AC in your house to survive. And so we didn't have the money to buy a new air conditioner, but God had talked to someone, and just they were praying, and God had said, hey, go buy Joe and Mel an air conditioner unit. And they did. We didn't ask. We didn't even tell them that we needed one, but they came and they brought one, and they said, hey, I just want to give this to you. And I was just filled with so much joy and so much gratefulness and so much happiness that God had provided for me, that God had seen me and looked out for me. And sometimes we are ambushed by joy. It comes out of nowhere and it overwhelms us. Joy is a response to God's blessing on our lives. I'm going to say that again. Joy is a response to God's blessing on our lives. The baby jumped, Elizabeth prophesied, and Mary sang. All three were responding to the joy of what God was doing. They were feeling it. Life was good. And there are tons of biblical examples of joy being a response to God's favor. King David experienced joy when he danced before the Lord with abandon. Hannah, the mother of Samuel, who was barren for so long, rejoiced when God answered her prayer to give her a son. The shepherds who witnessed the angel and then saw Jesus in the Christmas story, they were exuberant, praising God, full of joy at what they had seen and heard. Even the whole nation of Israel, if you read the Psalms or you look at their history, they're a nation known for celebrating, for having feasts and joy and praising God. And so joy is something that you feel. It is a response to God's goodness. And we can be surprised by joy even in our darkest moments. Joy is a gift that comes from God. Now we get to the but. But while joy is a feeling, it is also more than a feeling. Joy is a choice. Joy is a choice. You know, earlier we mentioned that happiness seems so elusive. It seems like it's just as soon as we can grab it, it disappears. Every time we achieve it, it fades. And in our hearts, we tell ourselves one day stories. We tell ourselves then I'll be happy stories that just aren't true. Have you ever told yourself any of these? When I find a good man, then I'll be happy. When I get married, then I'll be happy. When I have kids, all of our marriage problems will be solved. When I've landed my dream job or got this promotion, then I'll be happy. When I own a home, then I'll be happy. When I'm a little bit richer, when I've got $1 million, then I'll be happy. When life slows down and the craziness calms down a bit, then I'll be happy. When will you be happy? If you're always saying, then I'll be happy, you'll never be happy. Right? Every time we attain one of our happiness goals, we're left feeling just as empty, if not emptier, than when we first began our quest. And so catch this morning. The difference between joy and happiness is that while happiness is elusive, joy is eternal. Happiness fades, joy endures. There's a joy that is not dependent on outward circumstances. It's quieter and it's easier to miss, but it's there. From the Baker Bible Dictionary, I quoted from earlier, they say this about joy as well. They said, there is a joy that Scripture commands. The joy is an action that can be engaged in regardless of how the person feels. So there's two different sides to joy. Sometimes joy comes out of nowhere and it's something that we feel and emote. And sometimes we have to choose joy. Jesus tells his followers that if we're actually to rejoice, to praise God when we are mistreated or abused or persecuted for our faith. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul commands us. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. James tells us to consider it pure joy when we go through difficult times. And I don't know about you, but when I'm going through a difficult time, I don't feel joyful. But just as there's a peace, just as there is a peace that surpasses all understanding, so there is a joy that surpasses all understanding. Joy is not denial, though. Okay, this is important. The fact that we can experience joy in even the most difficult seasons of our lives does not mean that we have to pretend like everything is okay. It doesn't mean that we sweep our emotions of grief or emptiness or despair or hurt under the rug. But what it does mean is that in difficult circumstances, actually in every circumstance, we don't stop praising God. Because no matter how bad things get, even in the darkest dark, there is something that can never be taken away from you. And his name is Jesus. Jesus can never be taken away from you. And what Jesus has done for you can never be taken away from you. And this is what the Bible calls the joy of my salvation. The joy of my salvation. The joy that no matter what is going on, Jesus came and is coming soon. That he has saved you, that he loves you unconditionally, that he has made a way for you to walk in new life. And in difficult times, it's easy to lose sight of Jesus, isn't it? Right? It's easy to lose sight of what God has done. And so often we just downright don't feel like being joyful. But that's when we need to speak to our soul. That's when we make the choice to be thankful, to remember what God has done. And when we do, when we decide to focus on God instead of our problems, our perspective shifts. And we see things differently. And you might just find yourself surprised by joy. Even when we choose joy in difficult circumstances, I have to tell you something. I don't want you to leave this place thinking that joy is something you can conjure up if you just squint and clench your fists hard enough. Joy is a gift. It's always a gift, and it comes from the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5, verse 22, we're told that joy is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And what that means is that for followers of Jesus, we have access to joy because it is given to us freely. So while we pursue happiness and it eludes us, joy comes to us and we overlook it. God has given us the greatest gift in Jesus. He is the gift of hope, peace, and joy. And we have access to the joy that Jesus brings all year round. When we go into God's presence, when you go into God's presence, the psalmist writes this, he says, in your presence there is fullness of joy. And so if you find yourself down, if you find yourself discouraged, if you find yourself feeling meh, get into God's presence and allow his joy to become your joy. So where do you go when you experience joy, when you're feeling empty, worn out, or just plain tired? God's presence. And this is the whole point of Christmas. God with us, Emmanuel. That God moved heaven and earth to be with us. Where you find your joy determines your joyfulness. Our final joy is statement this morning is this: joy is in expectation. Joy is in expectation. See, the amazing thing about joy is that you can experience it in anticipation for what's to come. You know, when I think about all of the anticipation leading up to Christmas, we've got our kids' Advent calendars, their Lego Advent calendars, and every morning before the crack of dawn, they run downstairs and they're putting their Lego pieces together, and they're counting down the days till Christmas, and they're just so excited, and their excitement is more than just hope, it's joy. And in fact, my kids are even using it as a bargaining tool. The other day, Caleb said, "Dad, can I watch a movie?" And I was like, "No, not right now." And he's like, "But Dad, it's only 13 days till Christmas." And I thought, you know what, that's pretty good logic for a six-year-old. You can watch a show, sure. Right? But the anticipation, the build-up leading to Christmas is more than hope. It is joy as well. And when Mary, Elizabeth, and the baby were surprised by joy, it was an expectation for what God was going to do. Yes, there was joy that Mary was pregnant, but the joy was that baby would be born. That baby would be the Savior of the world. And so joy is often an emotion that accompanies faith and hope. In Hebrews 12:2, it says this: "Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne." See, in expectation of what was to come, Jesus endured the cross. You see, the joy that comes from Jesus is a force far more powerful than all the powers of darkness in the world. Even death itself could not rob the joy that Jesus looked forward to. And what joy is that? Certainly the joy of sitting at the right hand of God and being in heaven. But more than that, the joy of our salvation. The joy of relationship restored. The joy of his creation brought back into perfect peace with him forever. I'm going to ask the band to come on up. And I want to end this morning with how we began. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Because here's the thing. God has not given us this joy, this life-changing, life-altering joy for us to hoard to ourselves. The fact of the matter is that joy has come to the world. And his name is Jesus. And because joy has come, we need to share with our neighbors, with our relatives, with our friends, the joy that Jesus brings. And so let's be on mission this Christmas. Let's be on mission this Christmas and say, look, this is the joy that I can experience because I have Jesus. Let's be on mission this Christmas and say, hey, how about you join me for the Christmas Eve service and let's be joyful together. Right? Why not bring the joy that Jesus has given to you to the world? Now, here's something else to think about. If we're proclaiming joy, but we're not living joy, our words are meaningless. And I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know if you are feeling joyful and life is good and you're just happy and everything's going right, or if you're going through a really hard time right now. Maybe you're just feeling numb or empty and you just need some joy. Well, this morning, church, I want to invite you to take a stand, a literal stand. Everyone stand up right now. We're going to take a literal stand this morning. And we're going to sing to each other. We're going to sing to our souls. We're going to sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." Because joy in the Bible is so often experienced in community. When God's people get together and they worship him. That is so often when joy breaks through. So this morning, I want you to sing with everything that you've got. Joy to the world.